Good morning. Thank you, Karen. That was awesome. We do have something that we can do in this crazy world, and we can be the church. And that's what I'm going to talk about today, that you yourselves are the temple of the living God. We're continuing our series on living in response to the Holy Spirit. The first two Sundays, Glenn taught about what it means to raise our sails and deliver the mail. Being moved by the Spirit to go and to give. And last week, Aaron introduced the concept of the tabernacle and being filled with the Spirit. And he mentioned John 1:14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This morning, our focus will be on 1 Corinthians 3:16. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? What does it mean to be a temple of the Holy Spirit? I'm going to focus on three main purposes. As the temple of the Holy Spirit, we are empowered to celebrate who God is. As the temple of the Holy Spirit, we are empowered to be God's chosen people. As the temple of the Holy Spirit, we are empowered to represent Christ in this world. First, as a temple of the Holy Spirit, we are empowered to celebrate who God is. A temple signifies the presence of God. In Exodus 25:8, make me a sanctuary that I may dwell in their midst. God instructed Moses to build a tent of meeting, a portable replica of Eden, the original garden where God and people enjoyed harmony and companionship. In Eden, God breathed his own life, ruach, the breath of God, into us. However, we chose to reject that life with God, instead seeking to be gods ourselves, which forced us out of Eden to become nomads encamped outside of God's personal presence. But this action on our part did not put us outside of God's love. God's plan to reclaim creation, including rebellious humans, began immediately. As Aaron mentioned last week, the very first person recorded as being filled with the Holy Spirit was Bezalel, a craftsman. In Exodus 31:1-5, it details Bezalel's calling and gifting. God empowered him with wisdom and skill to envision and create a portable tent of meeting, or tabernacle, to be filled with the imagery of Eden. This would remind us who we are, who we're meant to be. And that tent became the place where Moses met with God to learn and then teach what it meant to be the people God had chosen to carry out his plan to reclaim creation. The chapter goes on to describe how the tabernacle was set up and organized and finishes with, then the cloud covered the tent of meeting and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses could not enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled on it and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. In all the travels of the Israelites, whenever the cloud lifted from above the tabernacle, they would set out. But if the cloud did not lift, they did not set out until the day it lifted. So the cloud of the Lord was over the tabernacle by day, And fire was in the cloud by night, in the sight of all the Israelites during all their travels. God's presence. God was with his people. The tabernacle journeyed with them, and they were meant to experience God's presence so they wouldn't get lost or fearful on their journey. But eventually, people lost sight of God because they stopped looking for him, and they got lost. But my favorite, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in love. Psalm 103, verse 8. In their lostness, God's people thought that perhaps having a king would help them find their way again. So God gave them King David. And King David dreamed of a permanent structure, a temple, to be established in Jerusalem. This temple, like the tent of meeting, was a sign and shadow of things to come, of the ultimate destiny of people who live in God's presence, and of creation, which was meant to be filled with God's glory. A temple for God's people to meet and know God. David's dream, Solomon's doing, a wonder in artistry of stone, color, precious metals, and gems. A retelling of Eden. Remember when we walked with God? And a reminder of the tabernacle. Remember when God traveled with us? But the pattern of rebellion continued. In Ezekiel chapter 10, the prophet witnessed finally the Spirit of God leave that same temple when his beloved people grieved him by turning against him again and again. But God's love is persevering. Again, Ezekiel in chapter 43 saw the Lord return to the temple. The glory of the Lord entered the temple, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. Centuries later, King Herod, the King Herod of the Nativity story, built a replica of Solomon's temple. But it was hollow without the presence of the living God. It was not there that God chose to live. Instead, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And that word dwelling, which Aaron got at last week, there's a Greek word, I will butcher it, but I'll try, skenou. It means to set up a tent, to dwell, made his home, lived among, tabernacled with us, among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. When John wrote that Jesus dwelt among us, he used that word, which I'm not going to pronounce again, meaning to pitch a tent or to live in a tent, and it relates directly to the tabernacle, skene. God came to reclaim us with his own two feet. He camped out in the dust where we would encounter him as we went about our daily business, as we suffered our sufferings and rejoiced our joys and grieved our losses. And Jesus, God with us, once again breathed on us, commissioning us to be God-bearers in this world, re-Edening it by the power of his Holy Spirit. As the temple of the Holy Spirit, we are empowered to celebrate who God is. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? As the temple of the Holy Spirit, we are empowered to be God's chosen people. In Genesis 12, 1 through 3, God blessed Abraham to be a blessing. The Lord had said to Abraham, Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed because of you, through you. This established God's people as a people defined by generous hospitality. Genesis 18, 1 through 10 beautifully illustrates this hospitality when Abraham and Sarah welcomed three strangers into their tent. The Lord appeared to Abraham one day, standing near his tent with two others. When he saw three strangers, Abraham hurried to meet them and paid respect by bowing low at their feet. He begged them to stay and enjoy all the hospitality that he and his wife Sarah could offer, and they gave their best. As the three men were about to go their way after enjoying the feast, they pronounced a blessing. One of them would return about this time a year from now, when Sarah would have a son. The blessing of a child. This welcoming spirit is symbolized in Jewish tradition by a wedding canopy called a huppah. The canopy is usually made with four poles and a fabric covering and is open at the sides. This structure symbolizes the new home they'll build together, and it's meant to bring to mind the tent of Abraham and Sarah. The open sides representing a home that is welcoming and hospitable to guests, as Abraham and Sarah were to the three strangers, as well as a life lived under God's blessing and protection. Moses heard echoes of Abraham's call. Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land that I will show you, when God called him out of Egypt. Moses and the Hebrew people he led were offspring of Abraham, blessed to bless the nations, and God was going to marry them, set up a household of generosity with them. His covenant was a marriage covenant, and the tent of meeting, the tabernacle, was their house, so to speak. God's temple reminds us of who we are. Long after Moses, after centuries of unfaithfulness on the part of Israel, God promised a new covenant through the prophet Jeremiah. This covenant would not be like the old one, which they broke. Jeremiah 3, 14 through 17. Return, faithless people, declares the Lord, for I am your husband. I will choose you, one from a town and two from a clan, and bring you to Zion. Then I will give you shepherds after my own heart who will lead you with knowledge and understanding. In those days when your numbers have increased greatly in the land, declares the Lord, people will no longer say, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. It will never enter their minds or be remembered. It will not be missed, nor will another one be made. At that time, they will call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all nations will gather in Jerusalem to honor the name of the Lord. No longer will they follow the stubbornness of their evil hearts. In Jeremiah 31, 33 to 34, God promised, I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. When we align ourselves with God through Jesus, we enter into a marital covenant with him. In Ephesians 5, Paul compares marriage to the union between Jesus and the church. We are the bride of Christ, and we live in a union with him that is defined by protection, blessing, and generous hospitality. As the temple of the Holy Spirit, we are empowered to be God's chosen people. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and God's Spirit dwells in your midst? As the temple of the Holy Spirit, we are empowered to represent Christ in this world. John 14, 15 through 17, if you love me, said Jesus, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. The temple now is you. The temple is us. Together, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God made a new covenant with us through Jesus that works from the inside out. If the new covenant works from the inside out, then our calling is clear. God wants to change the world for good through us. We were blessed to be a blessing to all people. How do we carry out this mission? Though, it's kind of big. I think Micah 6:8 sums that up pretty well. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Had the people of God consistently displayed God's character to the nations in whose midst they lived, everything would be so much more beautiful and hopeful than it is right now. It matters very much what you do, why you do it, how you do it, because that will be your offering to God and your legacy. But you don't do it alone. You are empowered by the Holy Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. We are God's people, so take that to heart. We are being transformed to be agents of transformation. God is teaching us how to be, in the words of N.T. Wright, genuine image bearers, empowered by the Spirit to reflect God into the world. Even ordinary people and ordinary actions can become conduits of God's grace. God wants to partner with us to reignite the planet with the light of his love, reclaiming what has been stolen and broken by evil powers and principalities and our own sinful behaviors. If you pay attention, God will prompt you to actions you would never imagine. And God will give you exactly what you need in the moment to carry them out. We know this is true because of the promise Jesus made in John 14, 12 through 14. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. The other day, I was in a waiting room where I did not want to be. And there were a lot of people in there, all trying not to make eye contact. Most of us on our phones to aid in that effort. But I felt a prompting, a nudge, that still small voice saying, be present. Don't hide. Look outward, because there's something that could happen here. So I tucked my phone back into my purse and was present to the room. I noticed a gentleman across the room who was wearing a baseball cap with a veteran patch on it. When he said something to someone sitting near him about how it seems like he's been waiting in line for most of his life, I felt like that was the moment I was to step up. But I didn't know what to say. The only thing I could think of was to publicly thank him for his service. And so I did. And then the most extraordinary thing happened. That man, who was a stranger, shared with me his story of the trauma he'd experienced in combat, of a near-death experience. And he told me about the after effects he suffered from contact with lethal chemicals during that war. Clearly, he needed the opportunity to process his experience. And God gave him the opportunity to do so by encouraging me to be present in the waiting room. Can I have the worship team come up? This has been one of the most common ways in which I've experienced the prompting of the Spirit. If you focus outward and listen, you will hear many stories at just the right time, and even sometimes have the opportunity to pray for an individual in the moment. You might witness a dropping of someone's guard, relief, or even gratitude to God in the faces and demeanors of those with whom you are present. Ordinary people and ordinary actions can become conduits of God's grace, a place for the Holy Spirit to move. The Holy Spirit does crazy and wonderful and powerful things in and through and around us. I've experienced some of that too, and I'm always happy to share when asked. But the Holy Spirit also fills us with the steady light of the love of Christ. Being the temple of the Holy Spirit means that we can serve as a beacon to guide people home. As the temple of the Holy Spirit, we are empowered to represent Christ in this world. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? Remember, as the temple of the Holy Spirit, we are empowered to celebrate who God is. Remember, as a temple of the Holy Spirit, we are empowered to be God's chosen people. And remember, as a temple of the Holy Spirit, we are empowered to represent Christ in this world. Amen.